At that point, I sensed that Theresa Lee needed to get going, and I certainly wanted to be out of there before young Leonid showed up again. So I nodded and shrugged as if I had nothing more to say and no further issues to pursue. Lila Hoth asked if I would give her the stick that Susan Mark had given to me. I didn't say yes, and I didn't say no. I didn't answer at all. We just shook hands all around once more, and then we made an exit. The door closed behind us, and we walked through the silent corridor, and the elevator chimed open. We stepped in, and we looked at each other in the mirrored walls, and Lee said,
"Well, what did you think?"
"I thought she was beautiful. One of the most beautiful women I've ever seen."
"Apart from that?"
"Amazing eyes."
"Apart from her eyes?"
"I thought she was lonely, too. Lonely and isolated. She was talking about Susan, but she could have been talking about herself."
"What about her story?"
"Do good-looking people automatically get more credibility?"
"Not for me, pal. And get over it, anyway. 30 years from now, she'll look just like her mother." "Did you believe her?"
"Did you?"
Lee nodded.
"I believed her. Because a story like that is ridiculously easy to check. Only a fool would give us so many chances to prove her wrong. Like, does the Army really have press officers?"
"Hundreds of them."
"So all we have to do is find the one she spoke to and ask. We could even track the phone calls from London. I could liaise with Scotland Yard." "I'd love to do that. Can you imagine?" Doherty interrupts me. I say, "But up, pal, I'm on the phone with Scotland Yard here." "It's every detective's dream."
"NSA will have the calls," I said. "A foreign number into the DOD, they're already part of an intelligence analysis somewhere."
"And we could track Susan Mark's calls out of the Pentagon. If they talked as often as Lila claimed, we'd see them easily. International to the UK, they're probably flagged up separately."
"So go for it. Check."
"I guess I will. And she must know I could. She struck me as an intelligent woman. She knows British Airways and Homeland Security can track her in and out of the country. She knows we can tell if she ever flew to L.A. She knows we can just go ahead and ask Jacob Mark whether his sister was adopted. It's all so easy to confirm. It would be crazy to lie about stuff like that. Plus, she came into the precinct house and involved herself voluntarily, and she just showed me her passport, which is the exact opposite of suspicious behavior. Those are big points in her favor."
I took the cell phone from my pocket and reassembled the battery. I hit the on switch and the screen lit up. It was showing a missed call. Lila Hoth, presumably, from her room 10 minutes ago. I saw Lee looking at the phone, and I said,
"It's Leonid's. I took it from him."
"He actually found you?"
"I found him, which is why I had gotten as far as this hotel."
"Where is he now?"
"Walking home from St. Vincent's Hospital, probably."
"Is this something you really want to be telling to an NYPD detective?"
"He fainted. I helped, that's all. Talk to the witnesses."
"Whatever. It's going to put the cat among the pigeons with Lila."
"She thinks gun ownership is compulsory in Virginia. She probably thinks mugging is compulsory in New York. She grew up with propaganda." We got out of the elevator in the lobby and headed for the street door. Lee asked,
"But if all of this is so innocent, why are there feds involved?"
"If the story is true, then an American soldier met with a Red Army political commissar back during the Cold War. The feds want to be absolutely sure it's innocent. That's why HRC's response was delayed by weeks. They were taking policy decisions and putting surveillance in place."
We got into Lee's car. She said,
"You aren't agreeing with me all the way, are you?"
"If a Hoth family business is innocent, so be it. But something wasn't innocent, that's for damn sure. And we're saying that other something brought Susan Mark to the exact same place at the exact same time, which is a hell of a coincidence."
And?
How many times have you known a million-to-one chance turn out a winner?
Never.
Me either. But I think it's happening here. John Sansom is a million-to-one against, but I think he's involved.
Why?
I spoke to him.
In Washington?
Actually, I had to follow him to North Carolina.
You don't give up, do you?
That's what he said. Then I asked him if he had heard the name Lila Hoth. He said no. I was watching his face. I believed him, and I thought he was lying, too. Both at the same time. And maybe he was.
How?
Maybe he had heard the name Hoth, but not Lila. So technically, no, he hadn't heard the name Lila Hoth. But maybe he had heard the name Svetlana Hoth. Maybe he was very familiar with it.
What would that mean?
Maybe more than we think. Because if Lila Hoth is telling the truth, then there's a kind of weird logic working here. Why would Susan Mark bust a gut on a case like this?
She had sympathy.
Why would she, in particular?
I don't know.
Because she was adopted, born out of wedlock, presumably wondering about her real folks from time to time, sympathetic to other people in the same situation, like Lila Hoth, maybe. Some guy was very kind to her mother before she was born. There are a lot of ways to interpret a phrase like that.
For example,
best case? He gave her a warm coat in winter.
And worst case?
Maybe John Sansom is Lila Haas's father. Chapter 32. Lee and I went straight back to the precinct. Jacob Mark had finished his business with Dougherty. That was clear. And something had changed. That was clear, too. They were sitting opposite each other across Dougherty's desk. Not talking anymore. Jake looked happier. Dougherty had a patient expression on his face like he had just wasted an hour. He didn't look resentful about it. Cops are accustomed to wasting time. Statistically, most of what they do leads nowhere. Lee and I walked over to them, and Jake said,
Peter called his coach.
I asked, when?
2 hours ago. The coach called Molina, and Molina called me.
So where is he?
He didn't say. He had to leave a message. His coach never answers his phone over dinner. Family time.